Step onto the red carpet and discover the Hollywood Casino difference. It's A-list service and all that goes with it. Experience unrivaled gaming action, award-winning dining, a lavish hotel, and electrifying nightlife with bars right in the center of the action and boogie nights, the ultimate 70s and 80s dance club. Because there's no place like Hollywood Casino St. Louis.
Must be 21. Gamble problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Let the good times roll as the Cardinals have won five in a row. They'll try to make it six with Michael Lance Lynn on the hill. Dogs for sure, but I like all animals. Tim, Brian, your thoughts on the topic?
Oh, I'm a dog guy. I tweeted out this morning, dogs are still better than cats.
Do you think a dog would have bit
the dog? Dog would not have bit the guy. A dog would have walked up, tail wagging, panting.
What is this?
Wanting to be pet?
Your lovely cat is biting you?
You guys are so
yeah,
full of crap.
Your cat bites you?
Your cat bites you?
It's more of, it's not like puncturing, like this guy got punctured. It's like, you know, nibbles, and it's more of a playful thing. She just likes to bite. I don't know.
You just a nibble, now it's back to bite.
Just one.
Okay. Yeah. And no dog, right?
No dog.
What does your wife prefer?
I think she's along with me on preferring cats.
Have you ever had a dog?
The advantage, let's be honest, the huge advantage is that they're much more independent, correct?
Yeah, you don't have to quite worry as much about being gone for a couple of days.
Or you can actually go somewhere for a couple of days and they're fine.
Sure. Like we usually, if we're gone for more than a day or two, we'd have somebody come check in and make sure it's got enough food or water. But, you know, other than that, it's pretty much fine.
Wow. Now, Brian, do you think when you're a married man living with your lovely bride, you guys will get a dog?
I would like to. The only issue is, like, training a puppy is kind of like a full-time thing. You can't, like, leave for work for 8 hours and then come back and be with the puppy. You have to be around it all day.
Yeah.
In order to get it properly potty trained and behaving properly. So I guess we'd have to do a rescue. We differ on size of dogs. She likes
medium.
She likes kind of the smaller dachshund. Like, her parents have a dachshund and two other kind of smaller dogs. And then I prefer, like, my parents have a golden retriever. I like that size dog.
Oh, that's a big
dog. I want a dog,
dog
I want to I can wrestle with. Get on the floor and get a little rough with.
Now, the only problem with the golden retriever, and they are about as perfect as you could possibly be, is the shedding.
I can
live with
them. I will say those are good dogs, though. I do like Goldens.
Yeah. I feel guilty if our dogs are, you know, without anybody for like 8 hours. I'll go home and just hang out with them for 20 minutes just to see them.
We're going, my parents have a wedding on Saturday, and they're there all day. So the fiance and I are going to my parents' house to hang out with the dog while they're gone.
Really?
Because they're like, we don't want to hold on for 10 hours.
It's a big lab?
It's a golden retriever.
Oh,
about
golden
80
retriever,
pounds.
That's right, yeah.
He's a husky dog.
Yeah.
I have two employees that have cats, and they both have come in with scratches on their face. I never have, and I've never had a dog. And I've had a dog. Oh, I never have gone into work with scratches on my face, and I've had a dog for a long time. Also, cats just completely suck. Thanks, face teeth.
Oh, no.
In fact, everybody texting in today, lead off your text with either the word cats or dogs, which you prefer. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. I think dogs will win.
Oh, without a doubt. Time. Without a doubt.
Someone says crate train, and you can go to work and pie train. I don't like crating a dog. I'm not a fan of that.
All right, now how about this one about the pit bull?
Oh, get a rescue. I've thought about that.
I rescued a 3-year-old pit bull last year, and she's the best dog ever. It was already housebroken and leashed and trained. Now, I think, that's a cute dog from Delano DeShields.
Aw, is that a golden doodle? Beauty.
Yeah, it is. That's my daughter's favorite dog. All she talks about is a golden doodle. Yeah. But I think that I wonder about the pit bull because they have this reputation of being nasty and mean, but I just think it's because of the owners that train them like that, right?
Yeah, I've never had one, and I've seen several, and I have friends that have them that are perfectly docile and nice, and I do think it's a lot to do with the training. I guess that if you have a pit bull and you don't train it well and you aren't a good owner of an animal, then that would be a dog that might be more likely to turn hostile on you. But I think if you train the any dog properly, I think you should be in the clear. But I don't know. I'm not the veterinarian animal expert, but that's just what I've seen in my experience.
Well, I got to tell you, Delano DeShields confirmed that is a golden doodle. That is one beautiful dog. Wow, that's nice. Dog, boy, they're winning big time. Dogs, 100%. Neither, Frank. I have a pet anaconda.
Okay. So you're kind of strange.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. That would be, I would always be afraid of it, like, getting out and swallowing the family whole or something like that.
Yeah. 378 texting in with a picture of his big, beautiful black dog. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body. What a beauty she is. Oh, we're getting all these pictures of gorgeous dogs. Lexington Steel has a regal, beautiful dog, too. Very nice. Big Al even texting in with his gorgeous dog.
Oh, you know Big Al is a dog guy after all of his Beagles comments that he's made over the past year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have some great dog pictures here today. Awesome. All right, we're going to welcome to the program. He's from Kansas City. He used to work with the Post-Dispatch, and now he's one of the outstanding columnists in the Kansas City area. He's my old friend, Vahe Gregorian. Vahe, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing fine. And how about you?
Everything's good. Are you in St. Louis covering this, or are you back in KC?
No, alas, I got cut from the road squad late. We had a little move up on some deadlines for a football special section. It's just killing me. I hate to not make this trip, but I didn't, so I missed out on Rally Kitten. What can you say?
Boy, we have caused your organization a lot of damage here with these three beatdowns, haven't we?
Oh, brutal. And I tell you what, a little, you know, I don't know if it's truth serum exactly, but I think you start thinking a team is X good or X bad, like the Cardinals have been, you know, really not performing to what anybody had expected for a long time, under 500 for a couple months, and now they're surging. I guess these numbers are run production they've had in the last four or five games is sort of modern era records, and the Royals look horrendous. I mean, it's embarrassing. A slight coincidence, and it might just be that, is that Sal Perez is sort of out for a little indefinite time as of Sunday when they put him on the DL. And I thought, because the Royals have done this before, I thought that, you know, they'd certainly miss him and not be as good a team without him. But I sort of thought it'd be one of those galvanizing things. They've had that sort of thing happen before, and they've just been terrible. They had one good win with the doubleheader on Sunday, but they look lackadaisical, make a lot of mental mistakes, errors in the field, things they don't do. And you kind of wonder what the overall effect is. It's not an excuse, but maybe it shows they're not as resilient as I thought they were.
Now, am I reading this right, is that the Royals have all these guys who are about to be free agents, and they're just taking, like, one last run with the band, right? And then they're going to lose a lot. It's going to be a completely different team, or how do you see that?
Well, it's easy to assume it's going to be a completely different team, and I think it's going to be hard. It almost seems impossible that they'd be able to sign all these guys at once, and part of what's been so good about them is exactly what's going to make this a really vulnerable worrisome time, because these guys have all been together. I mean, they've got six starters. I think that's right, if you count Gordon, six guys on the field out of the eight that were the same guys that were playing in 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, this is a lot of years together. And most of these guys came up in the minor leagues together. So maybe 9-10 years together for a lot of them. But, you know, the debts are coming due on the free agency. They've been able to be a little creative with guys like Perez and Duffy, you know, signing him early, maybe taking advantage of a little bit of a hometown discount. Danny Duffy just wanted to be in Kansas City. But you're talking about Hosmer, Moustakas, and Kane. Escobar is in that group, too. I don't know that he's going to command a big amount of money. I think they may be able to work with that. I think, though, that there's a chance they'll figure out a way to sign one or two of these guys. I'm not sure of that. And It may be impossible for them. So there's going to be some kind of facelift after this year. And so I think, you know, there were people who wanted them to sell early to try to grab, you know, start thinking about the future. And, you know, they're obviously close enough that they could contend. And we see this all the time in the playoffs. And you certainly saw it here in Kansas City in 2014. If you get in the postseason, who knows what you're going to do. So you just want to try to get there.
We're talking with Vahe Gregorian, a columnist with the Kansas City Star, the Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. Would you equate the passion for the Chiefs with the passion we have in St. Louis for the Cardinals?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I think that's probably true. That's probably about right. I think what's interesting, though, is that it's a little hard to measure these things because of the role success plays in this. So, for instance, it's very tempting just to say Kansas City is a football town. But I tell you what, in 14 and 15, after that, you know, nearly 30-year drought of postseason, I don't know that you would have said that the Chiefs were the story of the town during that time. Now, probably over time, that's true. But let's bear in mind that the Chiefs get to the postseason, but they've won one postseason game in 23, 24 years. So it seems like it stays pretty steady for the Chiefs, even through some ups and downs. But I think that's a reasonable parallel, Frank. It's true. They love their baseball here, but it's not quite as institutional, I think, and generation after generation after generation as the Cardinals are. It's interesting, you know, the Royals are closing in on their 50th anniversary of being around, and obviously the Cardinals go back, you know, more than twice that amount of time and really in the fabric of St. Louis with so much success in the past.
Yeah, to give people an idea, the Royals' average attendance is 27,000, and the Cardinals' average attendance is 42,000. But you also have, I'm not sure if it's accurate this year, but you had a stretch where your TV ratings for Royals games were just insane. It was during the, you know, the World Series years, but it was like crazy. Even past Fox Sports Midwest here in St. Louis with the Cardinals.
It was crazy, and it's hard to understand what that says, the difference versus TV ratings versus, you know, attendance. But I'll tell you something that happens, and it's funny. St. Louis fans will probably appreciate this and yet not experience it. So even in 2014, when they were closing in on getting to the playoffs for the first time since 1985, it wasn't what you thought it would be in attendance. I mean, there were late August and early September games where they had under 20,000 people there. And you would have thought they would have just gone nuts over that. But it was like, we've been fooled too many times. We have no idea if this is really going to happen. You know, faith was gone. Faith was lost. You hadn't seen it in so long. Then, though, in 15, those numbers really kicked in. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, you got to see something sometimes to believe it. It's just kind of that way. So, and of course, St. Louis, other than, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Frank, but I think like the biggest postseason drought in modern history was 68 to 82.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And then before 64, 67, 68, maybe that was like 18 years back to 46. They didn't go in the 50s, did they?
No.
So something like that. So this is stuff like 29 years without a postseason, that's double what any Cardinal fan has really experienced. So I don't know if that accounts for that. You know, the other thing to remember is it's maybe 20-25% bigger population base in St. Louis, and just that longer history of people coming from all over the Midwest, you know, because of all the reasons you know so well, all the tradition, the radio carry for so long all over the Midwest, farthest team west for so long. I think that stuff still drizzles down and affects it.
Has there been a Michael Porter or Porter family fever catching on in Kansas City?
It has, and it's kind of interesting to me because I think the SEC move, and look, this sort of coincides with my time here, so I don't exactly know what it felt like before 2013 when we came over here, but it seems to me the SEC move has made it so people here maybe feel like Missouri literally is looking southeast and not so much west. You know, you just don't have the same confluence of stuff that was going on in Kansas City with Big 12 tournament that would bring Missouri here, or, you know, some more games here and things like that. Football hasn't been very good, so that's been kind of a downer. But that excitement is pretty contagious all over the place. And it seems like it's resonating here. I'm sure it's the epicenter is probably really Columbia and St. Louis in a lot of ways, just because I think it's more purely Missouri town. Obviously, SLU and Illinois are a factor, but I think here, Missouri really battles with Kansas and K-State. And I'm persuaded that it probably is more of a Kansas town. It doesn't really matter because it's eye of the beholder, but there's more alums of Kansas, quite a lot more alums of Kansas in the area than I realized when I came here. I kind of been learning that as we go.
So just in Kansas City, there are more Kansas fans than Mizzou fans? Am I reading that right?
Here's what I would say. My understanding is that this was about 3 years old, but the alumni base is about 57,000 KU alum in the Kansas City metro area and about 25,000 Missouri. Now, we are in Kansas City, Missouri, so, I mean, I think on this side of the border, it certainly leans Missouri, and it's hard to quantify that, but if you're just looking at graduates from the schools, that's about right. You know what's funny? I'll tell you a quick aside. Phil Self is so funny. One of the first interviews I did, one of the first stories I wrote over here was about needing to renew the Kansas-Missouri rivalry, and I think Bill had these numbers right at his fingertips, and he always loves to say, hey, you might want to check me on this, but I think we've got exactly 2.76 times percent more alums in Kansas City than Missouri does. And, of course, you look it up, and it's exactly the same number he said. So it's just one of his little parlor tricks.
He's not going to allow, or he's not going to be anxious to play the Mizzou-Kansas basketball game, is he?
He's not, and, you know, I feel like I've heard him soften a little bit on it, but I don't really understand why it's such a big deal to him. I mean, I just don't. I'd love him to just drill in and say why. Because, like, you know, they played Colorado, they played Nebraska. There have been plenty of other things they've done. I do believe that there was a sense at Kansas that Missouri was deceptive with Kansas as it was weighing what to do, but circumstances did change, and you know, obviously the people at these places have changed, and I just don't know. I do believe Shea and Zenger is open to it, but I think that might be more in football than in basketball. Don't know why exactly. I get that the KU fan doesn't need Missouri and all that, but so what? It was quite an engaging rivalry, and seems like both sides miss out.
What do you make of Barry Odom's squad in year two, and does he have to go 7-5 to keep his job? If he went 5-7 and doesn't get the St. Louis or the Kansas City kids, is he in big trouble?
That seems a little extreme to me, but you know, we don't really understand Jim Sterk yet. You know, he did let Kim Anderson go right after this last year, but I think, you know, I went down to visit Kim at Pittsburgh State the other day, and even Kim would tell you he pretty much had to fire him. I mean, there's more to the story. You could think about it a lot of different ways, but so I think that was a reasonable decision. I think it would be, unless they have a disastrous season, I don't think it would be reasonable to say Barry's out after two seasons if they don't go to a bowl this year. I think it's kind of got to be one of those things where you see it as you go and understand whether you think progress is being made, whether he has command of his team, you know, how the staff's doing. I think there were a lot of little blips last year that you know, maybe you could expect out of a first-year coach. So I think we can't know what that looks like, Frank, but I'd hate to say go to a bowl or bust for Barry. I think it's how it happens and how the season plays out. I could be wrong. And, you know, it would be interesting if there had some strange threshold like 3-9 or 4-8, 5-7 that to see if Jim Sterk, you know, that, you know, mechanical or that's probably unfair to say. I mean, if he evaluates and thinks they got to do something different, then so be it. But I'd be a little surprised.
How is Kim Anderson doing? I mean, you know, Vahid, it's one thing to lose a job and for that job to replace you, but with all this incredible excitement and now arguably the third best recruiting class in the country, I mean, it's almost like you're dumped by your ex and she's hooking up with Brad Pitt. I mean, how tough is this for Kim?
You know, here's the thing. I don't think it's tougher on Kim because of the excitement now. I think it's just tough on Kim, period, because he leaves there feeling like he didn't get the job done. It was a painful time. It was on his bucket list, basically, to do this job. yet here's the encouraging thing is you care about Kim Anderson. I think Kim has a sense of perspective that, you know, he's sad it didn't work out. He doesn't regret that he did it. But he actually said to me that, you know, he sort of wonders if he's a better fit in Division II, not having to be a fireman putting out so many troubles in the program. And that's the thing that you know, skeptics or people that want to disagree with this say that he didn't have such bad problems. I think he had really bad problems that he inherited, somewhere of his own making. But I do believe he took one for the team and trying to clean up this program that you know, he'll probably never really get credit for. How do you get credit when you lose a lot like that? But I think if you're able to, you know, have your X-ray vision behind the scenes on everything, you'd see that he helped stabilize things, and I think Konzo appreciates that.
Vahe, I'm looking at the MLS attendance figures, and I see Sporting KC averaging 19,671, a city that doesn't have the soccer heritage that we have, but a city that can get things done and get the government and the movers and shakers together. How about the impact of what the MLS means to your region?
Well, it's really interesting for exactly the reason you said. I mean, this sort of, I wouldn't say started at ground zero, but certainly not with the foundation and traction that St. Louis had. And look, it took some bold moves, some imagination, some, you know, rebranding that got mocked at first. You know, it's a long way now from when the Wiz were playing in front of a few thousand people at Arrowhead. I mean, they got cooperation with the government over in, you know, they're over in Kansas. They're about 20 miles west in this area called the Legends, where the Speedway is. And it's a world-class stadium. I would urge any St. Louisan to come over with an appreciation for soccer just to check it out. I mean, the architects literally went around the world and did best practices and how soccer stadiums work. It's very kind of hip and modern, and they get 20,000 a game. It's funny because it makes you wonder. I have wondered before. We've all wondered before. Could Kansas City sustain another, an NHL team again, an NBA team again? And part of you says, well, that shows that you could, but part of you wonders now, where would you divide that up? You know, if those people are that crazy about soccer, is that part of the base? And of course, you got the basketball all over the place going on here in the winter. So that's an interesting question too. I sort of don't think it can happen here. That's not the question you asked, but it is a neat thing here. People really care about it. So Kansas City is lucky to have it. I wish St. Louis could get it done. I really do.
Finally, before we let you go, you have one last barbecue dinner in Kansas City. Is it Gates? Is it Arthur Bryant's? Is it Joe's? Or is it the place I went to last month called Jack Stack's?
You know what's funny, Frank? It's probably none of the above. It's probably either a place called Q39, which is sort of close to us. You can't get in the place. It's one of those Yogi Berra, you know, nobody goes there anymore. You can't get in.
Huh.
And then, actually, though, the place we seem to be taking people when they come to town is called Char Bar. I highly recommend the Burnt Heaven. And, you know, but there is no wrong answer. I've learned that, too. The other day, we were up at Chiefs training camp, and they Zarda Barbecue from down here catered the day. And it was like, how am I supposed to say this is, you know, not as good as anything else? It was great. So a lot of good choices. We're lucky to have them.
Good stuff. Vahe, honored to have you on the program. Hope to see you soon. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Frank, thanks for having me. Always great to be on with you. Thanks.
All right. Vahe Gregorian joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box and the All-New 590 Fan. He mentioned that training camp. Guys, of all the places I've ever been to, like covering sporting events over the last 25 years, there's nothing like covering a legitimate NFL training camp in terms of food, because they have, you know, a gazillion things to choose from, and it's all you can eat. And the thing I like about it is they had the fat grams and the calories listed on everything, because a lot of linemen or people have to be concerned about it. But I mean, when we'd be in Macomb, Illinois, they'd have a crab leg night, or they'd have a shrimp night, and they'd always have steaks and incredible desserts. Oh, my gosh.
What was it like the last year? Horrible.
Yeah. In fact, the last, like, 3 years, they had him here, and it was terrible, and, you know, it's horrible.
Here's some leftover pizza from the night before.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy it, you chumps.
Absolutely. They were terrible. All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll take a couple of texts and phone calls when we come back, and then at 11, we are going to be joined by Mike Claiborne.